Welcome to Decades From Home, a podcast about Germany. I'm Nick Houghton of 40%German.com, and I'm joined by our man in the Nuremberg land, Simon Maddox, and coming straight out of Bonn, stalwart producer Simon Josie, to discuss the weird and wonderful side of living in Germany. Hey, Simon. Hey, producer Simon.
Hoi, hoi.
Hello.
Hoi, hoi. It's still hot, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're gonna keep the pretense that it's actually a week later.
No, it's still 34 degrees, and I'm still unhappy.
I feel like I've gone a bit deranged. It's the heat. So the first time we've had it, it's been this hot, and we've recorded two episodes in a row. It's a weird experience.
Normally, we'd be out of here by now, but no, someone's got to go on fucking trip, and we got to do a double record.
Another holiday for producer Simon. Yeah, I've got to sit with two mattresses behind us to absorb the sound. It's like having an oven behind me. Honestly, it's horrendous.
Do not mind if someone else wants to do the editing and the producing for a week.
Not at all.
I mean, yeah, you go on holiday, mate. Let's do a double record. I don't care. I can live with it. Isn't even that hot. As I was saying, if there's one stereotype the world has about Germans, it's that they're a serious bunch. No laughs are had around them, so the stories go. They like rules, regulations, and starting on time. This is all well and good, but spend more than a fleeting moment in Germany and you begin to see the cracks. They may not be very obvious, but they're all around, telling a very different story about the Germans. For example, the inscrutable sternness. Every non-German here seemingly has a tale to tell about being shouted at by a random German, and by that measure, you would think Germans are all serious and punishing. Sure it is, when it comes to recycling or putting socks on children, but when it comes to escaping prison, the Germans seemingly go all soft and wobbly. It turns out, Germany is one of the few European countries where escaping prison isn't illegal. This explains why the German Prison Break remake only lasted one series. Simon, you sent this link to us in the WhatsApp group. I think it was from Reddit, showing a map of Europe and all the different places where it was legal to escape prison. And lo and behold, Germany was on that map. Were you surprised by that?
I'd heard about it before, but I was pleasantly surprised to see the other nations that also do this, because Germany is not alone in this mentality that escaping prison is basically... it's such a prevalent human instinct that it can't be punished. And so there's just a really lovely, understanding, warm and fuzzy vibe to Germany. It's like, we're going to put you in prison for the crimes you committed, but if you try and escape, we understand. Makes sense. And I think that's, it kind of breaks a lot of people's concepts of what they might expect in this scenario, where you think, oh, you escape a German prison, to Colditz with you. It's going to just get more extreme. But no, it's actually not like that at all, which is very, very nice. I did find this on Reddit in one of my favorite Reddit forums, which is r/mapporn. It is full of really wonderful visuals that you look at and go, huh, I never looked at it that way. So I can thoroughly recommend checking out mapporn. And it also helps that if someone does go through your internet history, you go, no, I was just looking at maps. It's fine. Don't worry about anything else that's in there.
It's just maps, I tell
you. Just leave it at mapporn.
I think anything with porn in its title is going to be complex discussion to some extent. I will say that I think, although it's still not illegal to escape prison, prisons in Germany have a tendency to get a sort of good rap because they mustn't be that bad, and I think there's an impression that European prisons are all soft and cushy, at least from the American perspective. But the prison nearest me in Augsburg had a terrible scandal last year, where it was discovered they were like effectively torturing prisoners and doing quite horrendous things to people. So it isn't all warm and cuddly by any extent. But in fairness, I did, as Simon sort of mentioned, build my entire understanding of Germans escaping prison on our experiences of watching kind of World War II television as kids, especially on Saturday. Sort of Saturday afternoons seemed to be the time slot when you'd find a black and white war movie depicting some attempted escape from something. And of course, there's films like The Great Escape or the TV series Colditz, which heavily implied that the Germans were far from thrilled with the idea of prisoners hopping the fence or tunneling out via the sewage pipes. But did you know 33 POWs actually escaped the impregnable fortress prison of Colditz Castle near Leipzig? I know we're not a history podcast, but I'll fucking wrestle my way in there if I can. It's a bit of history facts for you. That's far more than the war movie suggested every Saturday lunchtime through the 80s and early 90s. In fact, a group of escaping British officers are said to have tunneled into the commandant's wine cellar, drank 100 bottles of his finest wine, and refilled the bottles with urine. And what the hell was that movie? I want to see that movie. I would have loved to see that movie as a kid. Like, British soldiers pissing in wine bottles would have been fantastic. No, what do we get? We get some, like, Pip-Pip old chap and some dive bombers. What a load of wank.
Pip-Pip old chap, dive bombers.
Was there a question in that, Nick?
No, there isn't a question. It's too hot for questions. Help me out, people. God, Jesus, what am I just carrying this show at this point?
Can I raise a clarification question, please?
Go ahead.
So you say it's not illegal to escape from prison in Germany, but I assume that just means that once they capture you again, and presumably they will do, that further charges aren't added to your charge sheet.
Yeah, there is no charge for that crime.
Right.
If you were to commit a crime in the process of escaping, which does happen, there is an account of a guy stealing a tank as way of escaping prison. He did face additional charges for theft of vehicle and property damage.
That's no fault, really.
So you don't just like get carte blanche, be like, oh, yeah, steal a helicopter and fire some rockets to the gate and get out of here. Well done.
So if you escape prison, it's the page. And
taxpayers will cover you.
You just go kill people and just do what you want. 24 hours.
Commendable human instincts, sir.
You can get out of prison for 24 hours. Like, all crime is legal for you. There you go. But you've got to get back to prison.
And once you're out, that doesn't mean the slate is wiped clean. They'll catch
No.
Put you back into jail, right?
Yeah. And you'll serve the rest of your time. Yeah, you just don't get any additional time on.
Right, okay.
So the guy that stole the tank, he was found 3 months later. But he managed to steal the tank, knock down gates, get out of the prison, and then be on the run for 3 months, which is...
Very good.
Yeah, you got to respect that level of dedication to the cause.
Begs the question, what was the tank doing in the prison in the first place, doesn't it?
So it's one of those, it's not a tank like you would use to fire rockets at the enemy. It's one of the police issue, like high security tanks that would be used in like a riot or a siege. Mm. So it's, you don't see them, like they're stored at prisons and army bases. They're not just out on the street on a Friday night patrolling to make sure people don't get too drunk and fight each other.
It depends which parts of the country you're in.
An armored vehicle is probably a more accurate way of describing it, but the word panzer is a real eye-catching headline grabber.
So you say panzer, it's a tank. Like, I don't care what you say. See, that's the World War II television coming back again. So every panzer is a tank.
I'm impressed that this person, a guy, I presume it was a guy, mm-hmm. knew how to drive the thing because, I don't know. I mean, have you ever tried to drive a tractor? They can be a bit tricky. You know, different type of vehicle.
I think, I can't speak for all tanks, but I think they are easier than tractors.
Okay, interesting.
Because you just got, I think you've basically got two drives, one for each track. And so if you just push them both forward, it will go forward. Mm. So I guess maneuvering beyond that's probably harder. But that's made me think of my favorite terrible joke. Two fish are in a tank. One says to the other, how do you drive this thing?
I was just thinking as we were talking there about tanks, all we need to do now is talk about gardening, and we've hit like the conversational conversational trifecta. How to drive a tank, a bit of gardening.
I built a new raised bed from upcycled
stop it, this podcast used to be cool. What are you doing?
I've taken some pallets and I've made two things for the garden from the upcycled pallets.
Damn it, that sounds great.
It's really nice. I'll send you photos.
Did you buy more soil?
I had a big bag of compost that I'd taken out of our compost area, so it was ready to go. So it was 2/3 filled with our compost, and I had some soil left over from my last big purchase.
Uh-huh. See, I know I don't want to talk about it, but that sounds great.
It's now growing butternut squashes and zucchinis and some broad beans.
God, you're going to have a really varied diet.
Legumes for days.
Only a few short weeks ago, we were marvelling at the efforts of one kebab shop owner's attempts to produce a truly affordable €3.99 Volksdöner in Bochum. An admirable concept, I think we all agreed, but then there are some people out there in the world who, that doesn't seem like a great idea. At least, that was the general feeling I got after watching a video entitled Ist der Dubai Döner der Welt 24 Karat Gold? In fairness, the video didn't disappoint. It was a kebab with a gold leaf on it, but that's about it. Very little by the way of luxury, just bog standard kebab with gold shavings, I guess. Do you think they were garlic flavoured? At least maybe a little bit.
I don't think you can add a flavouring to gold, is my initial instinct on
chili flavoured gold. Is it chili flavoured gold?
It'd just be gold spray chilies, surely.
I was surprised at how, like, absolutely shit. Like, I was expecting it to be one of those. What's the guy, the Salt Bay guy?
Salt Bay. I knew you.
I thought it was going to be one of those. I like you see them videos now of people, like, and they'll have like a security guard escort for a suitcase that's got a tomahawk steak in it. There's some tits put gold all over. Like, that's the kind of thing I was expecting. No, it's just like a Dunerladen that you would find on any German street. They didn't even tidy up the counter when they handed over the Döner. It's just like, and this Döner that had like, what, I guess it was, it says 24 karat gold, but like, it didn't look, it looked like gold leaf. It looked like edible gold leaf that they put in it. I just don't believe it for a second. But were you tempted, Simon?
No, not at all. I was furious. It's this kind of stuff that just makes us as a species look like just utter monsters. Like, at what point do we need to do this? It is such an obnoxious way of wasting money and spoiling food. Like, food has flavor, gold does not. Adding it is just a sign of being an absolute beast and someone who just doesn't value the euro in their pockets. I hate this kind of stuff, and I hope it gets in the bin. Bring on the 4 euro Volksdöner. That is the revolution that this country needs.
Yeah, I couldn't quite understand. I felt like you hadn't read, the people hadn't read the room. They were like, no, what people need is more expensive Döner, not a cheaper Döner. That just seemed a little bit sort of over the top, really.
What do you think your body does to it? Does it pass it out pretty quickly?
I think
what?
It has to go straight through you. I don't think you can't digest gold, surely. You can get toxicity if you eat too much gold. I'm not sure what the levels are, but it isn't safe for human consumption. In small measures, you're fine. But if you had maybe 5 of these Dubai Döner, maybe you would face a possible poisoning from the gold.
I mean, I think if you're eating 5 Döner, you've got more problems than the bloody gold that you're eating, right?
Yeah, the cholesterol's going to get you first, I think, yeah.
I had a Döner the other day. We all went as a family and we sat at the table outside. And honestly, it was the fattest Döner I've eaten. It was like €7.50, proper fat. Fat little guy, right? Little like doing a sandwich. And I was thinking about it and I was like, this is maybe a question you can answer. Is it better to order your Döner in the Laden and eat it at the table or to leave? Because my assumption was always just to buy it and get out. But this thing was so big and it was much bigger than the one I'd bought like last month when we just bought it and took it away. So do you reckon they're filling, if you stay in the Laden, they fill it more? So it entices more customers to come in. They see you eating this delicious giant kebab and they're like, oh yeah, is this the trick?
It could be the tactic these days. I guess it would depend on time of day. Like, do you want to attract more customers? I know the last time I ate a kebab in the Laden would have been like 2 in the morning a decade ago. Very drunk. Since then, I've always done takeaway. I've always taken it on the walk. So I think there is a certain, I don't know if it's just the Britishness, there is a certain amount of shame, I think, to eating Döner in the sun. If the sun's out and you're sober, it's like, oh, I shouldn't really be eating this right now. But I think that's the English concept of Döner.
I haven't eaten a drunk kebab in years, in fairness. No, that's not true. I mean, I think I did one at St. Patrick's Day last year.
Isn't the advantage of eating it at the, I hesitate to say the word restaurant.
Some places it kind of is, you know.
It's very judgmental, kind of, Simon.
Yeah, no, geez, man, come on. Some of these places put the effort in.
Isn't it the advantage is that it doesn't get a chance to go a little bit cold?
Yeah, it's still very warm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But it's always that kind of, it's never hot.
There's too much liquid in it, I think, to be really hot. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
And you don't want it to be too hot so you can eat the damn thing.
No.
Inhale it. That's the way you eat a good kebab.
I have to confess, I don't think I've mastered yet. I still struggle a bit eating a Döner. And there's nothing worse than having a bit of aluminium foil in your mouth at the same time. But I had a Döner teller, a Döner plate quite recently, and I thought that was quite sophisticated.
That's the civilized approach.
And that was in the restaurant.
I do see every now and again a Döner teller going for like nearly €20 in some places, and that is just grievously expensive.
I mean, it has to be something like really exceptional that they're putting on that plate. Because, I mean, there's a lot of places that'll charge that, but you're still getting the same stuff you get in most places. Yeah. I just like it if they give me a metal plate. That always makes me laugh. I love a metal plate. Like that's that. Right, I'm paying for that. That's the action that I want.
Feels like a medieval king.
Yeah, it does. That's exactly the vibe I have. I'm like, bring me more wine. You wench. And then they throw me out because it was rude. No, I do. I enjoy it. It's really cool. But I'm most of the time, I'm just, I'm a heathen. I'm basic. I like the Duna sandwich or the, like a Durum. It's quite nice. I don't usually get the teller. It's a bit too fancy for me.
I think the teller's, it's just quite a commitment. Especially like a lunchtime, am I going to have that many chips? No, I shouldn't really.
But okay, in the one that I had recently, it didn't have the bread. So to me, that was quite appealing that it didn't have the bread because, you know, the bread, you know, middle-aged man and all that, it's, you know, evil bread and all that. So, you know, a lot of salads, a little bit of meat, some potato chips, yeah.
Well, that's the vegan diet's really working for you, mate. no, I think in some ways, if you get the bread as well, you've basically just got deconstructed kebab. So it's kind of like, what are you doing anyway? Why don't you just have it instead of just separating it into its constituent parts and putting them, arranging them nicely on a plate? Seems a bit of a waste of effort.
There is something quite majestic about a really well decorated Donatella. Like they can look fantastic. Mm. Get all the lovely shades of like pickled vegetables and stuff. It can look great. Whereas a doner is always going to look, especially if it's wrapped in foil, is always going to look pretty poor.
And you avoid doner hand as well.
As a new compound noun that we didn't know we needed.
Doner hand. Is it, you got like, it's all gooey at the end.
Mm.
It's sort of, because that's what happens. If you, especially with durum, it ejects itself at the end.
Mm. I also get doner barred. I end up with doner in my brew on my beard.
Brew.
And my wife's always like, oh, you got something in your moustache? I'm like, I'll get it at the end. It's a waste of time doing this at every bite. This is going to be a repeated action throughout.
It's much easier to edit the whole than it is to edit piece by piece.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to end up with a napkin covered in lots of different areas. I'll just take one big swipe at the end and I'm good.
Efficient, if anything.
I had dentist barred this week. I went to the dentist on Monday and had some injections. And as I was leaving, after being fully numbed in the face, I went to take a drink of water. And just water just poured out of my face, all over my beard. And I got in my car feeling sorry for myself and just water was just dripping off me, off my beard. It was a real low start to my Monday morning.
No, that doesn't sound like a great way to start your week. I always just consider you and your beard like a happy-go-lucky bunch, you know? It seems now that maybe I was mistaken.
We try and be laissez-faire, but sometimes life gets in the way.
Something that crossed my path, or at least my WhatsApp feed, was a recent report by Bayerischer Rundfunk, who have announced, based on the stats from the Police Criminal Statistics Office, I think would be the correct terminology, the safest big cities in Germany, starting from first to last, is Munich, Augsburg, and Nuremberg. Mm. And they're your top three cities. Weirdly, they're all in Bayern, and Munich and Augsburg are basically right next to each other. So that's like the safest part of Germany is in between Munich and Augsburg, I think. So they're the three safest cities. And it made me think about top threes. So, gentlemen, which city would you choose to visit out of potentially those three, but better yet, out of the entire whole of Germany, which is your top three favourite cities? Not necessarily safest cities, but your top three favourites.
Well, I've been living in Nuremberg long enough now that it is my top three out of those three. I'm a little bit anti-Munich because of living in Nuremberg. It's like the big city. Don't trust it. Augsburg, it's fine, but I don't love it that much. It's Nuremberg all day out of those three. But I did reflect on this idea of the three best cities to visit in Germany. And I would include Nuremberg on those because it does have a beautiful old town, lots of history, huge amount of history, and one of the few cities where you can really see what sort of the architectural concept for Nazi Germany was going to be. That's pretty interesting.
It's pretty wild, yeah.
It's very, very weird to be able to stand on the same position as Hitler did at the Zeppelinfeld, speaking to Hitler Youth, etc. So I think Nuremberg would make my list. The second city I'm going to go for is Munster. Love Munster, a really beautiful city. And my third pick, which I think is going to be the most controversial, I'm actually going to say Frankfurt and mine. Both of you are looking at me like I'm mad now, but hear me out. Frankfurt gets a lot of bad rep, especially because of, oh, it's dangerous at the Bahnhof. Yeah. And yeah, it isn't nice at the Bahnhof. But if you go to any of these major cities, it's not very nice at the Bahnhof. Nuremberg Hauptbahnhof, when you leave, can feel a little bit sketchy. And it wasn't that long ago that Nuremberg was in the three most dangerous Hauptbahnhof in Germany. We talked about it on the show. So these things change fast. Nuremberg's gone from the dangerous, most dangerous train station in Germany to now the third safest city. So well done, Bundespolizei, I guess. But Frankfurt am Main, if you take away the Hauptbahnhof experience, is a really interesting city to visit because you have all the skyscrapers and nowhere in Europe has in that way. Yeah. I mean, London is coming close now, but be able to take a river tour on a nice boat, cruising past the skyscrapers and then wander later in the afternoon to some of the small neighborhoods in the north. It's just really nice. Mm-hmm. It feels really multicultural. It feels really alive. I really like Frankfurt am Main, and it's just always getting trash talked. So I thought I'd take the opportunity to say something a little bit controversial and big it up a little here. And I knew neither of you would pick it.
I know I wouldn't. I wouldn't have off the top of my head. I wouldn't have picked it. I think it's an interesting choice, but I think it's Sachsenhausen that I stayed in, which is kind of, it's got like a weird little villagey vibe. The part that I stayed in, it was quite nice. It's sort of the streets and the area around there was quite nice. And it was, you're right, it was nice on the river. So I can understand why people would choose it. And certainly the far kind of, the west side of the city is quite nice where the skyscrapers are.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's a good mixture of kind of modern and old. It feels like a much more modern city than any of the others.
Mm-hmm.
Major cities, even Berlin. It feels a lot more modern than that. So that's interesting. So Munster, Frankfurt, and Nuremberg. Cool.
Yep. Those would be my three.
What about you, producer Simon?
Of the three that you first mentioned, the Bavarian cities, I would say, well, I've been to Munich, so that comes last. So I'm not particularly interested in going there again, but I will eventually go there again. I would probably say Augsburg, because I've never been there. That would be most interesting to me. I don't think it's necessarily better. In fact, it's got a terrible reputation. But I would still like to go there and just see for myself how bad it really is.
Well, just because Bertolt Brecht said the best thing about Augsburg is the train to Munich.
Exactly. Famous for its Spezi, though, so maybe that could be, you know, good. And you live there as well, Nick, so I guess whatever. Nuremberg in second place. But I just to be not a samer, in terms of three cities, I do want to mention a couple. I've never been to Leipzig, and I'm quite interested to go there because that has quite a good reputation. People say it's kind of like Berlin, but not as a little bit more under control than Berlin. Heidelberg, have you ever been to Heidelberg? That's quite pretty,
mm-hmm.
little city. And Wiesbaden is also quite pretty. It's sort of northwest from Frankfurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Clearly blew everyone away with those three.
No, I was just thinking that Wiesbaden was like a kind of edgy choice, wasn't it? It was sort of it was all a little bit like Frankfurt. I wouldn't have expected.
It's you go there and it sort of reeks of money. I think there's a lot of wine country money there. It's a bit like, have you ever been to Stuttgart? Stuttgart is quite impressive with the vines overlooking mm-hmm. the city as well. I mean, Stuttgart is quite pretty, but mm-hmm. it does stink quite a little bit of money as well. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is really hard to choose. I think Nuremberg does have a place. I'm putting them third. It has a very big place in my heart. And I think if you compare it to the other cities like Augsburg and Munich, Nuremberg has a bit more edge to it. There's a bit more spikiness to Nuremberg, which
makes
it
quite appealing.
Yeah, I wouldn't say so. I mean, you have the Gostenhof Mafia, you know, you have the people who are like the trendy cocktail bars, but it doesn't take over in the way maybe it does in other cities. It doesn't become the focus. You really have to go looking for it. Most of the time, it's still got its Franconian vibes. There's nothing like being sort of insulted by a Franconian. Oh, God love them. So yeah, they're firmly in three. The second, number two, is a tough one because I think Dresden and Leipzig need a bit of love. I think Leipzig's a fantastic city. I spent a few good nights in Leipzig. I think it's got some fantastic kind of Soviet architecture still. The train stations that are absolutely insane, but it's also Murray's really, you know, I love a bit of architecture. I love a wander around a city. It's very wanderable. It's very nice. Same for Dresden too. Dresden's beautiful. Got a beautiful Altstadt. But in truth, yeah, I guess I have to choose Hamburg. Hamburg's the number two for me. Mm-hmm. Really fantastic city. Just a completely different vibe if you live in the south, being in the north. I just, yeah, the culture. I'm not a big fan of the old fish sandwiches. They can keep those to themselves. But it's the sort of fresh northern air, the sea kind of vibe. Everybody seems to have a waxy jacket. Gotta love that. But I think, in fairness, for a variety of reasons, I have to defend the honour of the city of Munich, because you both seemingly denigrated it for no apparent reason. I do understand that it maybe gets a little bit of a kicking because it is a bit overly traditional, and there is the shikimiki.
Yeah, it's the posh part that I struggle with. Yeah,
that's the bit that Nuremberg doesn't have.
Traditional is fine. I don't mind that at all. But it's the, oh, we're better than everyone else thing that's, you can smell in the air sometimes.
I would defy you to find a more beautiful Großstadt in the country. I think it is fantastic. The architecture is amazing. One of the things I love about it is because it was essentially designed to be like almost a pleasure garden for the dukes and the kings of Bavaria. It's got some really beautiful parks. It's got some really beautiful walks. That's really nice. It's got some really nice museums, some lovely restaurants. So yeah, I'm a big fan of Munich.
Sounds like you should maybe like start an Instagram about this.
Yeah, it'd be weird, right? If I was to sort of put in the effort to begin an Instagram account.
Are we foreshadowing something there, gentlemen?
Not so much. I suppose I might
as
well.
It's not in the script.
No, it's not in the script, but I might as well. I mean, I'm waxing lyrical about Munich as if I've been joined a freaking cult, but to a certain extent, I guess I kind of have. So me and my friend Anastasia have been working on a Instagram account that is... Yeah, it's one of the most fun things I've been doing recently, which is basically making
videos.
Thanks
very much.
Yeah, that's really nice to say in front of us.
I mean, other than the podcast, geez, guys, come on, it's a different experience. But making videos on Munich and talking about Munich, there's a couple of videos as we speak. There's a few videos up there already. I would recommend the ones without my stupid face in them, but I can't help it. There's not enough content up yet to hide my visage. But there's a lovely video of me swearing a lot. I think the second video we posted is me just getting very sweary. But so far we've done a video on the Bronze Lions outside the Residenz Palace. We've done a video on the Victualian Markt. And there's a couple of videos about Bavarian breakfasts and traditional Bavarian food, which is really, really good. Yeah, so the account is Munich Matters, or at Munich Matters. So I'd really like it if you listen to the podcast, you can go out and follow the Instagram account as well, and maybe see what my stupid face looks like in its sort of fleshy existence.
So this means that the 40% German network is now doing print, audio, and visual.
Anastasia is much more involved in the kind of production and the writing of the script, and she does a lot more of the video side and editing, a lot more, all of it. And I just turn up and read a script. So, I mean, really, it's all her hard work that got it off the ground. I'm just there to, you know, like any good face of any product, just to reap the rewards for doing the least amount of work.
not unlike this.
I write the damn script for this. Oh, jeez. Oh, it's brutal. This is how it goes. I see. See, no wonder this is why I have to go off and make Instagram accounts. The treatment I get from
Do you get treated better over there, do you, in video land?
In fairness, no, I get shouted at a lot for not talking right, so... you ain't talking good. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll get better. Yeah, that's the way it works. But yeah, go follow Munich Matters. Go and check us out. That brings us to the end of the show. Simon and producer Simon off to start their own Instagram accounts about Frankfurt and Wiesbaden. Okay.
No, it's going to be about Simon's. It's called Simon's Matter.
Simon's Matter. I don't like that one. Isn't that an OnlyFans account? If you're enjoying the podcast, why not give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, which only takes a minute and could really help us. You can also rate us on Spotify, so chuck some stars our way there as well. The podcast has accounts on Blue Sky and Instagram, so feel free to follow us on your social media channel of choice. Just search for Decades From Home to find us. As ever, if you have any questions, feedback, or maybe an article or topic you'd like us to cover, you can reach out via our social media channels or get us on decadesfromhome@gmail.com. If you have time, take a look at 40%German.com, where weekly articles are up every Saturday. All that's left to say is thanks, and bis zum nächsten Mal. Tschüss!
Tschüss!
Adieu!